Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Rabbi Meir Schweiger discusses Parshat Bo. Rabbi Meir Schweiger is a senior faculty member at Pardes and serves as the Pardes Mashkiach Ruchani, the spiritual guide for Pardes. And now, Rabbi Meir Schweiger.
Thank you, Larry. This week's Parsha is Parshat Bo. Once again, I would like to look at chapter 12, the central chapter of this parsha, the chapter where the Jewish people are given their first commandments as a people, where the Jewish people experience their first Seder, where they go from slavery to freedom, the chapter where they eventually leave Egypt. The central feature of this chapter, the central topic of this chapter, is the Korban Pesach, the Paschal Lamb. I would like to explore certain aspects of the Paschal Lamb and compare it with Brit Milah, circumcision. In chapter 12, verse 3, Moses and Aaron are told, "Speak to the whole community of Israel, saying to them, 'On the 10th of this month, you shall take to you, each man, a sheep per father's house, a sheep to each household.'" And then in verse 6, it says, "V'haya lachem lemishmeret, and this sheep shall be to you to be guarded until the 14th day of the month. And on that day, the whole community, congregation of Israel, will slaughter it towards evening." The word that I want to focus on is mishmeret, guarding. This word seems to be a key word in all of chapter 12. If we go down to verse 17, "Ushmartem et hamatzot," you shall guard the matzot. In the end of verse 17, "Ushmartem et hayom hazeh," you shall guard this day, "lidorotechem," for generations, "chukat olam," an everlasting statute. Once again, if I go down to verse 24, God says, "Ushmartem et hadavar hazeh," you shall guard this thing, "lechok lecha," as a statute to you, "ulevanecha adolam," to your children forever. Verse 25, "And when you will come into the land which God is giving you, as he said, ushmartem, you shall guard et ha'avodah hazot," this service. And the final place where it appears, verse 42, "Leil Shimurim Hu Lashem," this night is a night of guarding to God, to take them out of the land of Egypt. This night is to God, Shimurim, guarded, L'chol B'nei Yisrael L'dorotam, to all of the Jewish people, for generations. I hope that I've made my point that a central key word in this section is guarding, which is emphasized by the Korban Pesach, appears also by the Matzot. Let me skip for a moment to Breishit, chapter 17, which speaks about circumcision. In chapter 17, verse 9, "And God said to Abraham, 'And you, guard my covenant, you and your seed after you, for generations.'" Verse 10, "This is the covenant that you shall guard between me and you, and between your seed after you, circumcised to you all males." Guarding is not mentioned in the context of Brit Milah the same number of times as in the context of Korban Pesach. Yet nevertheless, I think that there is a very important connection between the two sections, not only because of this word, but because of a number of other words that come up. Perhaps to just illustrate this, in our chapter, chapter 12, the Jewish people are told to slaughter the Paschal Lamb. And then in verse 13, it says, "And the blood shall be to you as a sign, le'ot, on the homes that you will be in. And God says, 'And I will see that blood, and I will pass over you. There will not be any destruction as I smite the land of Egypt.'" And if we turn to Brit Milah, chapter 17, verse 11, "You will circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be an ot brit, a sign of the covenant between me and you. The blood of the Paschal Lamb is a sign. It doesn't say a sign of the covenant, a sign. Brit Milah is a sign of the covenant. Who does the Korban Pesach? I mentioned earlier, it is done per household. Every household is to participate in it. And in fact, we're told, if we look at the end of our section, we're told in verse 44, V'chol Eved Ish, and all servants, Miknat Kaspo, whoever is purchased, Umalta Oto, you shall circumcise him, Az Yochal Bo, then he shall eat, from the Korban Pesach. Look at verse 48. And when a stranger, a convert, will be with you, and do the Korban Pesach, see to it that all of his males are circumcised, and then shall he do it. And he will be like a citizen of the land, and all who are uncircumcised shall not eat from it. These verses establish the connection between circumcision and Korban Pesach. A prerequisite of eating the Korban Pesach is circumcision. Whether it be the servants of your house, whether it be the one who converts, or as the rabbis say, when it says, Chol arei lo yochal bo, even if it be a Jew who, for whatever reason, did not have a circumcision, he cannot partake of the Korban Pesach. There seems to be this Gordian knot which connects the two. Note the fact that if we look at the section of Brit Milah, who is circumcised there? It is not only Abraham, but as it says in chapter 17, verse 23, 27, and Abraham took Yishmael his son, and all those born in his house, and all those that he acquired, that he purchased with money, all of the males in his household, and he circumcised them. And in verse 27, and all the men of his household, those who were born there, those who were purchased by money, were circumcised with him. Brit Milah and Korban Pesach have the common feature of somehow connecting the household. It's not enough for Abraham to be circumcised, to even have his son circumcised, Yishmael. It is critical that all the men of his household are circumcised. And by the same token, Korban Pesach is not brought by the elder of the household, by the father, by his son. Korban Pesach is something which is supposed to be eaten by all the members of the household. The blood is to be put on the doorposts as a sign of this household. And let me add, Korban Pesach is eaten not only by the men, but by the women as well. So that on a certain level, it goes one step further than circumcision. I would like to now go back to the idea of guarding. In our section, the way we began was chapter 12, verse 6. When it speaks of taking the Korban Pesach on the 10th of the month, and then in verse 6 it says, and it shall be to you to be guarded until the 14th day of the month. And I mentioned in a previous podcast, this verse presents a certain anomaly. What's the point of taking the animal on the 10th and guarding it until the 14th day? Why not just take it on the 14th, just before the slaughtering, which would save a lot of time and energy without this need to have to guard it? And there is a rabbinic comment which says, when the Jews took the Korban Pesach, this was seen as an act of defiance by the Egyptians. The lamb was held sacred in Egypt. Moses, in last week's parsha, when Pharaoh says to him after the fourth plague, why do you have to go out into the desert and serve your God? Why can't you just do it in the land, in Egypt? And Moses' response is, if we were to sacrifice in Egypt, this would be an abomination. Would not the people stone us? Hence, when the Jewish people take the lamb on the 10th day, this is an act of defiance. This is an act where they are putting their lives on the line. For them to guard it for 4 days means for them to be willing to put themselves out there for what they believe in. Later on, when the Jews take the blood and put it on the doorposts, and in fact there is a question, did they put it on the inside of the house or on the outside of the house? Certainly if they put it on the outside of the house, as we do nowadays with our mezuzah, we make a statement which says this is a Jewish home, and we're not ashamed to say that. In our section, chapter 12, verse 21, Moses calls all the elders and says to them, Mishku, pull, and take to you the sheep to your families, and slaughter it. And the rabbis are troubled, what is the need to say pull and take? It would have been sufficient to just say, take this sheep and bring it as an offering. And there is a comment which says, quoted by Rashi, Mishchu yedeichem me'avodah zarah, pull your hand from idolatry and take for you the sheep of the mitzvah. When the Jewish people sacrifice the Korban Pesach, this is a statement of their belief, their value system. They do not subscribe to the idolatrous cults and practices of Egypt. They are breaking with that. They're expressing their adherence to God. They are also demonstrating their willingness to stand up and potentially endanger their lives for what they believe in, to literally sacrifice themselves for their beliefs. And according to the rabbinic opinion, which says that they put the blood inside the house, it was important for the Jews to have to confront this, to see that blood and to constantly say to themselves, who am I? What do I really believe in? What am I prepared to stand up for? I think that the roots of Korban Pesach, or the root of Korban Pesach, is Brit Milah. When Abraham performs Brit Milah, that is the moment that he becomes the first Jew. That is the moment where Abraham now proclaims to the world, puts a sign on his body that shows the world, I am a servant of God. There's a very interesting rabbinic comment which says, in chapter 17 in Bereishit, verse 26, in the midst of that day, Abraham was circumcised. And the rabbis comment that Abraham did it in the middle of the day, did not do it in a secretive way, but perhaps even in a demonstrative way, as a way of saying to the world, I'm not afraid of you. I don't have to hide what I believe in. This is what I believe in, and if you don't like it, I'm prepared to stand up to fight for what I believe in, which is exactly what the Jews do later on when they bring the Korban Pesach. There is actually a very interesting rabbinic comment based on a verse in Ezekiel, which we say at every Brit Milah, that God says, and the time had come, and I passed over you. This is Ezekiel chapter 16. And I saw that you were naked, and then I saw that you were wallowing in your bloods. And I said, in your blood you shall live, in your bloods you shall live. And the rabbis comment, this is referring to the blood of Brit Milah and the blood of Korban Pesach. And although it is not mentioned in our chapter, the rabbis assume that before the Jewish people left Egypt, all the males were circumcised, so that the blood of the circumcision mixed with the blood of the Korban Pesach, together they both expressed the covenantal relationship with God. And perhaps now I will add, together they both expressed Jewish peoplehood. Kahal Adat Yisrael, Brit Milah, Korban Pesach are the cornerstones of Jewish identification and of Jewish peoplehood. And hence, in both sections, we are told that if one does not perform Brit Milah, he will be cut off from the Jewish people. This is chapter 17, verse 14, in Bereishit. And although we are not told that in our section, later on, in the book of Numbers, chapter 9, verse 13, where the Jews are told of the laws of Pesach Sheni, the opportunity to have a makeup if for whatever reason they were unable to bring Korban Pesach the first time around, they are given the opportunity to bring it 30 days later on the 14th day of Iyar. And there it says, but if someone was not impure, if someone was not living, was not at a distance from the temple, and did not bring the Korban Pesach, that person will be cut off from the Jewish people. And it makes a lot of sense, because these are the two commandments that are central to Jewish peoplehood. Let me just develop this one step further. Once again, coming back to the idea of guarding. The first interpretation which I gave to guarding had to do with the idea of seeing what you're guarding as being very precious, watching over it, being prepared to protect it at all costs, perhaps even at the cost of your life. Now I would like to look at another aspect. In the verses which I mentioned to you, and here let's look, for example, at verse 17 in our chapter, chapter 12, which is actually not talking about the Korban Pesach. It's talking about the Pesach day. It says, you shall guard this day for generations as an everlasting statute. In verse 24, and then later in 25, you shall guard this matter as an statute to you and your children forever. And it says in the end of verse 25, guard this service. We see the juxtaposition between guarding and eternity. Something which is precious. I would like to remain forever. I hand it down from generation to generation. Note the fact that this idea appears also by Brit Milah. In chapter 17, verse 9, God said to Abraham, and you, guard my covenant, you and your seed after you for generations. Something which is precious, we don't allow to disintegrate. We guard it. I want to actually end with the verse that I quoted in our section, verse 25. The verse says, and when you will come into the land which God is giving you, as he said, you will guard this service. And then in the next verse it says, and when your children will say to you, what is this service to you? And in verse 27, you will say, it is a sacrificial offering, Pesach, to God, who passed over, Pesach, on the homes of the Jewish people in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians and saved our homes. Verse 26 is something very familiar, is a verse very familiar to us. Ma ha'avodah hazot lachem. We all know this from the Haggadah, from the Pesach Seder. This is one of the four questions. The question of the wicked son. And for all of us who are familiar with the Seder, we all know, why is he a wicked son? Because he says, what is this service to you? As a way of saying to you and not to him. In another podcast, I discussed the idea that perhaps the problematic of the wicked son is the fact that he doesn't ask a question. He makes a statement. As it says, when your sons will say to you, not when they will ask you. But today, I want to actually focus on this idea of what is this service to you? And to then look at the next verse where the answer which is given is, this is a sacrificial paschal offering to God. Avodah, service, is the word which appears in the Torah and later on in rabbinic literature, which has to do with worship of God. The rabbis generally associate this with sacrifices, but we actually find rabbinic comments which extend this to prayer, to study of Torah. What I would like to present now is the problematic of the wicked son, who says, what is the service to you? What do you get out of this? How is it meaningful? And this is something which perhaps I hear very often as an educator. When people talk about prayer, people talk about the synagogue service. Very often people talk in terms of it being meaningful to me. How can we make it meaningful to me? How can we get me or someone else more involved? And perhaps this is a misconception, a misperception of what Avodah is all about. The Torah is saying, answer that son and say to him, the service is not about me. It's something which I give to God. The wicked son is asking his question / making his statement in a context when the Jewish people have now entered the land of Israel. And there's a good reason why he says it now. Because in Egypt, there was a certain logic to doing this service. The Jews needed to do it in order to be able to go out of Egypt. But now that you're out, now that you're in the land of Israel, it is no longer meaningful. So why do it? And the answer which is given is, I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for God. If I were to extend that, when I pray, when I study, ultimately the purpose of that is not for me. It's for God. It's for me to serve God. It's for me to realize through these acts how central and important God is in my life. Shmirah, guarding, is coming to teach us something which is precious. You don't just discard in different realities, different circumstances. Something which is precious, has eternal value, which you hand down from generation to generation. Service of God, Jewish peoplehood, memory is very precious. It is something that should be handed down from generation to generation. To say that that was true in that generation, but we don't need it anymore, runs completely in the face of our section. It runs completely in the face of what we do year in, year out at the Seder. When we remember the Exodus, when we relive it, when we hand it down to our children, tell them the story. If we go down to verse 42 in our section, we speak of the Seder night as being Leil Shimurim, a night of guarding. A night of guarding to God, which I can understand in two ways. It's a night of guarding which I dedicate to God, where I become totally aware of my relationship with God, which I devote to God. But there's another way of reading it, which I think, in fact, is the pshat. This is a night of guarding of God. God was watching this night. God was protecting it. God had a divine plan. This was the night that the Jewish people were destined to leave the land of Egypt. And as it says in the end of the Pasuk, this is the night to God, which is guarded to the Jewish people for generations. Because what happened on this night is a reflection of the covenantal relationship between God and the Jewish people. God made a covenant with Abraham. God remembered that covenant. God remembered that covenant this night. And God continues to remember that covenant for all generations, in the same way that God remembers and guards the commitment which God made to the Jewish people, we too need to remember our commitment to God. We too need to remember the service which is not for us, but the service which should be dedicated to God. In our section, when it speaks about guarding the matzot, the rabbis say, don't read it as matzot, but mitzvot. It goes far beyond matzah. It has to do with mitzvah. And the rabbis also comment, how do we guard matzah? We need to watch it so that it doesn't rise, so that it doesn't become leavened. It doesn't sour. So the rabbis have the quip, which says, don't allow the mitzvot to sour. Don't miss the opportunity to do it. Don't wait. As I've mentioned, our parsha speaks about the movement from slavery to freedom. A key factor in that movement is our ability to guard, to watch, our ability to watch over who we are, our identity, what is central to identity, our ability to see that this is something which needs to be handed down from generation to generation, our ability to be willing to put our lives on the line for what we believe in, our ability to not just always think about what is this to us, What do we get out of it? To constantly talk about self-gratification, but to see that maybe what we're doing is for God. Maybe what we're doing is for the greater good of the Jewish people. As I mentioned a number of weeks ago in the podcast, Israel has been in the midst of a war against terrorism. 2 weeks ago, I mentioned again and again the numerous miracles that we have experienced in this war. How many times has God been watching over us, has been guarding us? And on the flip side, how many tefillot, how many prayers were said, thanking God, petitioning God? How much was done out of a sense of Jewish peoplehood, whether it be in terms of the soldiers who went to the battle, motivated, thinking the whole time that their mission was to bring safety and security, not only to the people in the southern part of the country, but to all of Israel, to all of the citizens of Israel, who poured out their hearts to the soldiers, to the people of Shderot and Ashkelon and Beersheba. The last few weeks have been a reflection of this idea of guarding, of watching. My hope is that we should know to do this, not just one night, not just for a few weeks, but that this should be something, this night, these few weeks, should set the tone for how we continue to conduct our lives, so that even when we have changing realities, even when, God willing, we will once again experience peace and quiet, routine, that we will continue to guard, to continue to think not only what is this service to us, but what is it that we are doing for God and for the Jewish people. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Schweiger. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated, so send an email to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.